But I think it's so important that we can just get together. We just got a small number. We're not concerned about numbers. I don't care if there's five here or if there's 500. That would be good. But we want to be of the same mind. And that's what I've been bringing this message about. And that is how to be an overcomer. How not to be beaten down by the world around us, who, of course, Satan is trying to beat us all down, and he's trying to disrupt whatever we're doing. He's trying to mess us up in every way possible. But we're not going to take it. We're going to stand up. And the reason that we can stand up and the reason we don't have to take it is because of Yeshua's promises. And we've been talking about the angle of trust. We've been talking about obedience. And we're going to talk about patience today. And one of the prime examples is in the book of Job. Job, and I'd like you this coming week, if you have an opportunity, to look at the book of Job in the Old Testament and read, if you can read all of it, it would be wonderful. But the book of Job is it's a fantastic a book. It's interesting in all respects, but it shows you about the faith of one man going through the worst possible suffering. Everything from physical, mental, spiritual, his wife giving him a bunch of baloney, his friends telling him stuff that wasn't true, and how he should be reacting and how he should handle all this kind of thing. And Job was, the spirit in Job's temple was so tough, so strong, so powerful, that he just let it overcome every obstacle. And it's a beautiful book to read. You should read it. It was originally written as poetry, I understand, the book of Job. It goes along with Lamentations and Ecclesiastes and some of those other fantastic books in the Old Testament. I'd like Mark to open up in prayer to start out this meeting.
Father Yahweh, we know that as tough as things get, many things that we don't understand yet happen in your will and way. And as we pray that your will be done, we ask that when Yeshua comes back, we know that he's going to set everything right.
Yes.
And we ask that as many as possible who are invited to that wedding feast be able to attend. When we look at verses like 1 Corinthians 10:13, we see that as much as will happen to us in this world, nothing more will happen to us than has happened to any other person, and nothing is going to happen to us that you don't show us a way out of or through. And we thank you for that guidance, that shepherding that we get through your word, your precious word, Yeshua. In Yeshua's precious name, amen.
Amen.
Yes. That's good. Thank you, Mark. All right, today I'm going to sort of continue on this overcomer type of story about how we can be overcomers. And we can't be overcomers unless we are connected. And you say connected. Connected to what or to who? Well, it's just like electricity. You want your fan to work, to cool you down, you got to plug it in. And it's just a simple kind of a thing. But we've got to be plugged in to the Holy Spirit. And if we're listening to the Holy Spirit, we're reading our Bible, we're praying, we're exhorting, we're sharing, then we are leading a life that's pleasing to God. And that's what it's all about. I've talked to all you guys separately about some of these things, especially we get the chance to talk to Blue when we have coffee, and I see him over at the church, Episcopal Church, where they're sharing food with folks. And it gives us a good opportunity to reach out and talk to people in that respect. And any time that we can volunteer to do something for somebody else, that's going to be pleasing to God. Yahweh is going to be very happy about that. And we're going to get blessings from this. You know, a lot of people say, hey, I don't need to get close to the Lord until the day I die. I'll tell them, when I'm on my deathbed, I'll make a decision. And I'll say, okay, take care of me. Take me to wherever. Take me to heaven. Well, that's pretty simplistic. But the problem with that is that you are living a barren life before this kind of thing occurs. You're missing out on all the blessings that Yeshua has for us. And it's enumerated. I mean, it's specified. We can read it. We open the Word. I don't care whether it's Genesis or through Revelation. Every book in this Bible is helpful and is going to allow us to receive blessings. And blessings are what it's all about, actually. If we don't have blessings, if we don't feel good about ourselves, if we don't have some kind of self-esteem, I'm not talking about pride, we've mentioned that before, we've got to be careful about the prideful attitude. We've got to be thinking humble and meek. Humbleness and meekness. That's the way Jesus came to this earth. Now, that was his first advent. When he comes back, it's going to be a different story, isn't it? He's not going to be humble and meek. He's not going to allow all these people to run around affecting us, negatively affecting us, killing us. He's not going to allow this sin to abound. He's going to take care of it. He's going to be a conquering king. And we're going to be part of his ensemble. Right now, we can consider ourselves, if we're connected, we're plugged into this Holy Spirit, we can consider ourselves as ambassadors. Not merely just servants, but servants is a good part of it. Service in any respect. It doesn't make any difference what you're doing as long as you're doing good and you're doing it with the right attitude. Attitudes and priorities, just a minute, John. Attitudes and priorities in our life are the main thing that we've got to be thinking about. Yes, Johnny, what do you...
I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, I want you to interrupt any time.
Right. Well, I have discovered another word of what I think our function in Christianity is, we become disciples.
Disciples. That's right. That's a wonderful word. And that's what the Lord had disciples, didn't he? He had his disciples. He had apostles. And you know what the Lord does? When you're talking about gifts, the Lord gives us gifts, but he also has men as gifts to other people to spread the word. And the disciple is a student and a turning into a teacher, turning into a leader that can distinguish the difference between good and bad. Basically, I mean, it's black and white. There's no question about it. If we are standing in a gray area and we think that we can have a little bit of this and a little bit of that and nobody will ever know and I can do this on you know, sometime maybe in the at night, or I can do this sometime when nobody will see me. Or, but wait a minute, who are we trying to kid here? We can't fool the Holy Spirit. We can grieve him real badly. We can make him very sad. And I'm sure that we do that on occasion. And every once in a while we slip. Don't consider yourself perfect. Remember that thing about the filthy rags, your righteousness, your deeds. The things that you think that you're good at, and maybe you think that you're one, and you get a little bit of a prideful attitude, and that's not good at all. He says it's like filthy rags, and he's going to discard them. He's not going to pay attention to that at all. And that's the difference between being religious and having a relationship. There's a lot of religious people out there. We see them every day. You'll see them going into the church. You'll see them maybe even carrying their Bible around. You'll see them meeting in different places. You'll see them all dressed up, and you'll see them maybe knocking at your door. We got to be careful. I've got to be careful about making a judgment on that kind of thing. We don't have to be concerned about their relationship. When I say that, with a tongue in cheek, because we've got to be concerned about it, but we can't judge it. We can't judge them. We can't say, hey, just because they don't think the same way we do in every respect, that the Lord is going to turn them down and is going to be grieved about it. We don't know for sure. But we know for sure what the Bible tells us about how we should be and how we should be reacting and what our priorities should be. And we've talked about it, and I just reiterate the business about following God's program, God's will, as opposed to what we think that we should be doing without consulting the Holy Spirit. And we're talking about patience today. And this thing about patience is very critical, because sometimes we ask for something or we think that we deserve something. And a lot of times we're very impatient and we think, hey, this should happen right now. This is my plan, and I'm asking God to bless it. Well, that's not the way it should be, and that's not the way it's going to be. We should ask him what his plan is, and then he will bless us if we follow through and try to do what he says, using these guidelines. And we can never forget, Jennifer's is told us about this, about using God's armor, because we're getting beat up every day. Mm-hmm. Every day we're going to get beat up. But we don't have to worry. It's just a temporary thing. And whatever happened yesterday, forget about yesterday. Today has got enough problems of its own, and then we don't have to worry about tomorrow either, because he's promised that he's going to be there and he's going to take care of us. Now let's look at this thing about patience. I say we've got to follow this concept of patience very closely. And I have got scripture after scripture after scripture, and you can go from, like I said, Genesis to Revelation, and everywhere, each book talks about trust, obedience, and patience. And there's another thing that we've got to think about also, along with this patience, is flexibility. And you say, what does flexibility have to do with patience? Well, we've got to be flexible in that we're going to get some answers from Yeshua and the Holy Spirit that we don't like. We are going to be told, we are going to be advised not to do something that we want to do badly. We're convinced in our mind that that's the way to go, and we're going to go that way no matter what, and I don't care what anybody says. Well, be careful. Slow down. Flexibility. There's a story about when they put the oil pipeline through the tundra and through Alaska. And they said, you know, one of the problems is going to be all of the movement, the earthquakes, the movement of the glaciers, and all of these kinds of things that are going to happen up there. How in the world are we going to, how are we going to take care of that situation? Because the pipeline is going to get broken, and it's going to spew the oil all over the place. And they came up with a flexible idea. They put on these Teflon couplings, their joiners, their adjusters kind of things that they put on about every, I don't know if it was 50 feet, 100 feet, or I'm not sure what the dimensions were, but it would allow for shifting. And they've had shifting up to 10, 15 feet. And this pipeline is still in it's still flexible, and it still works. And they didn't lose their connection. That's what we've got to be careful about, losing our connection and our pipeline. We have our pipeline going. Everybody's got their little pipeline going. We've got to make sure that that pipeline does not get broken, because that's what Satan wants. He doesn't want us to be connected. He wants us to be disjointed. He wants us to be confused. He wants us to be in a state of chaos, just like the whole world is right now. You look at the news, you turn on TV, you listen to the radio, whatever, and you look at the internet. I mean, everybody, oh my God, what's going to happen? What are we going to do? Well, we're just going to carry on. That's what we're going to do. We're going to stay connected. We're not going to have to be, we're not going to have to worry about it. Now, you look at the world situation, Greece, for instance. The latest thing is that I've been reading about is that Greece is defaulting and going bankrupt, the country of Greece, which is going to affect all the rest of the countries in the Mediterranean, because they all hold some of their debt. And if they don't get paid, they're going to go broke. And so there's going to be some people say, oh, it's a domino theory. The world is going to sink. I mean, you know. And praise God, we're not in the economic, we're not in the, on Wall Street. Or we're not affected that badly like some people. Our government, though, is in serious trouble. We all know that. We all know that we've been borrowed, our government has borrowed more. And it has, and wants to raise this debt ceiling. They want to borrow more and more and print more and more money, which is not going to do, it's not going to solve anything. It's just getting us into worse trouble. But so we have our own little problems. We've got our own little economic problems. Those that are lucky enough to have a job are very fortunate, because there's millions of people around here, around this world, even the United States, that don't have a job and that are actually even going to bed hungry at night. And that's a terrible situation. And this is going to be rectified one of these days. The Lord is going to take care of this kind of situation. He's going to come back and he's going to make everything right. But in the meantime, we can be overcomers. We can take care of our situation. Each one of us has a different situation. Each one of us is going to be, can be supported and be encouraged and be helped out by somebody else. We have the opportunity, some of us have an opportunity to help out folks, and don't give up that opportunity. Don't negate that. Don't neglect that. If you see somebody that has some problems, help out wherever you can, for sure. That's very important. But let me read something here. I'm talking about today being patient, having the patience to be patient. And Lana, would you look up Proverbs 16:32? David, would you look up Psalms 130? Psalm 130. And let me read, while you guys are looking at that, I want to read this here. It's a little thing about patience, to be patient. The bottom line is, God seldom does great things in a hurry. He just doesn't do those kind of things in a hurry. I talked to about my friend Joe. Took him months, took him a year to get back to normal. And a lot of us it's going to take a long time for us to get back to normal when some things happen. Children, listen to this, children want things right now. I want my dessert now. I want to do this right now. I want you to take me such and such. I need this, I need that. Like for instance, are we there yet? When you're riding in a car, we're going someplace. You know, kids say, "Well, I don't want to ride in that car. I want to go someplace, but I don't want to take 2 hours to get there. I mean, if we go to Albuquerque, it's going to take us 3 hours. Yeah, but we're going to go to the zoo. Well, okay, but you know. In contrast, as we get older, we learn to wait. Medical students wait through training. Parents wait in hopes that the son may return. We wait for what is worth waiting for, and in the process, we learn patience. David, what does that psalm say? 130, verse 5.
I am counting on the Lord. Yes, I am counting on Him. I have put my hope in His word.
Okay, I also have another. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His word, I do hope. Psalm 135. That's good. God, now listen. We're talking about, Marcus talked about this, about the time and about the different dimensions. God, who is timeless, requires of us a mature faith that may involve delays that will seem like a terrible trial. And they are. It's a trial, and it's for a reason. He wants us to wait. He wants us to go through a little bit. He wants us to be tested. It's a testing kind of thing. Many prayers in the Bible come out of the act of waiting. Jacob waited 7 years for a wife and then worked seven more after being tricked by her father. That's in Genesis 29. The Israelites waited 4 centuries for deliverance. Moses waited 4 decades for the call to lead them, then 4 more decades for a promised land that he never even entered. He couldn't get in there. Psalms 130, verse 6, right after that, it says, "My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning." The picture comes to mind of a watchman counting the minutes for his shift to be over. You know, when we go to work, sometimes it's an 8-hour day, and maybe it's a 10-hour day. Boy, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we say, "Oh my God, am I ever going to get through this day?" We're challenged with that. That some of us are lucky to be retired. We don't have to worry about that kind of thing. But you guys with jobs, praise God, you got a job. I know it's tough sometimes, but hang in there. Just hang in there. I pray for the patience to endure times of trial, to keep anticipating, keep hoping, keep believing. I pray for patience to be patient. Lana, what do you have there? I gave you a Proverbs 16:32. What does that say?
He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that rules his spirit than he that takes a city.
Okay. Well, it's the same kind of thing. It's patience.
Slow to anger.
Same kind of thing. Isaiah 40 says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's Isaiah 40, verse 31. That's a good one. When you've got a trial, think about that. And in talking about doing things in God's time, Matthew 6:34, Leah, could you check out Matthew 6:34? Who wants to look up Habakkuk? Chapter 2. Mark, would you look up that? Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, I think it is. Whenever you get that, go ahead.
Out of the New English it says, for the message is a witness to what is decreed. It gives reliable testimony about how matters will turn out. Even if the message is not fulfilled right away, wait patiently, for it will certainly come to pass. It will not arrive late. Look, the one whose desires are not upright will faint from exhaustion, but the person of integrity will live because of his faithfulness.
Oh boy, that word integrity, guys, that's another big word. You could have a message on integrity you could talk about that for weeks. And that's integrity is just the opposite from having a bad testimony and being a person that nobody can trust, a person that nobody wants to associate with, a person that has violated all kinds of trust, and especially in the business world. I mean, you see that all the time. It's very hard to find integrity, somebody that's a company or a person that will do what they said they will do. What about that Matthew 6 there?
Be not therefore anxious for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil of it.
That's right. That's why I'm talking about.
This one says, today has enough trouble of its own.
That's exactly what we were mentioning about, yes. We know that, don't we? But we know also that we don't have to be beat down. We don't have to be disappointed. We don't have to, just because those things are happening to us, it's normal. It is normal, and Satan is going to be doing it to us forever and ever and ever. But we don't have to worry because we are overcomers. We can be overcomers. It's a choice. If you say, oh my God, I don't think how long I'm going to make it. I'm probably going to go right on down the tubes here. I don't know. Nobody wants to help me. Nobody has any. Said that I'll be able to handle this. God, Yeshua said we can handle it. We got the authority there, guys. We don't have to worry about what our neighbor tells us. We don't have to worry about Job when he had three friends. Well, his three friends gave him some bad advice. And that's what you're going to get from your neighbor sometimes. Mm-hmm. And from the people that we love. Sometimes from our family members. Mm-hmm. They're going to tell us a bunch of baloney. But we don't have to listen to it. We don't have to be defeated, do we? Patience is commended in several. I could give you, I've got about 10 different verses here about what the Lord says about using patience. He says we've got to use patience. It's a necessary thing. We cannot be distracted. And we cannot want immediate gratification. Sometimes gratification will come immediate, though. If you pray about it, Sometimes the Lord answers in different ways, and He'll answer us a different way. Maybe He'll answer you one way a month ago, and you'll say, "Well, He did this for me, and it was just like that." Now, if I ask Him again, He might do the same thing, but maybe He won't. Maybe He gave you a temporary satisfaction or a temporary answer. But most of the times He'll say, "Be patient. Wait. Check it out. Look into My Word. What did I tell you about that? Look it up in the Bible. You've got a concordance. You've got a glossary in your Bible. If you've got a certain situation that you're faced with, look it up and find out how somebody else handled it in the Bible. There's just about every situation. That's what the parables are all about, right? They're stories about people and what happened to them and what they did and how they took care of things and what the Lord did. Lamentations. Would you look up that Mark? It's Lamentations 3. Lana, would you look up 2 Peter 1, 6? Leah, would you look up 1 Peter 5, 7? 1 Peter 5. David, would you look up Isaiah 43? Chapter 43, verse 18. Do you have a Bible, Brenda? Would you look up Proverbs 12, 25? And Luke, do you have your Bible with you?
Yes.
Would you go to the book of Job? The book of Job. It's in the Old Testament. Chapter 2. And Jennifer, let's see. I got one here. Let's wait on this, Jen. I got this next there. Let's go ahead. And you guys, who's got what here? I gave
Lamentations.
Sweetheart, what did I give you?
2 Peter.
Okay, would you read that? 2 Peter 1. Verse 6, I think it is.
And in knowledge, self-control, and in self-control, patience, and in patience, holiness.
Those are the kinds of things that we develop. Knowledge, self-control, patience. Those are all the things that we use to build up our ability to handle things. To stay connected. What do you have, Mark? Lamentations there?
Lamentations 3, right?
25 to 26.
The Lord is good to those who trust in Him, to the one who seeks Him. It is good to wait patiently for deliverance from the Lord.
The Lord is good to him. Did you hear that, guys? These are promises we're reading in here. These are things that we can take to the bank. It's like gold. This is gold. This book should be written. It should be covered with gold. Because it's that valuable. It's wonderful. What do you got, David? Did I give you... Which one did I give you? Isaiah 43, 18. Verse 18.
Sense, but I'll read it.
First, it's about serenity. Does it have anything to do with serenity, about being blessed? How does it read?
But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do.
Read the maybe before the verse or before it and afterwards. Well, the thing about it is, we're going to be bombarded, but we don't have to be pressed down. You know, that's what That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to press us down. He wants to subject us to depression and discouragement, that kind of thing. Does it make any sense there? If it doesn't, we'll skip that one. All right.
It's basically the Lord's promise of victory.
Yes.
Through the wilderness and stuff.
Okay. Okay, about 1 Peter. Who has 1 Peter 5? Yes.
I'll read 6 and 5.
Yes, yes, read it.
Because it goes together. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of Yahweh, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you.
Cast all your anxieties upon the Lord. He's big. He's big enough. He's strong enough. Bigger than anything in this world. He's stronger. And we're connected. If we're connected with that Holy Spirit, how can we lose? How can we get pressed down? How can we be discouraged? How about Proverbs 12? Who had that? Miranda?
Heaviness in the heart of a man makes it stupid, but a good word makes it glad.
There you go. Satan wants us to have a heavy heart. He wants us to be discouraged. He wants us to unhook, to be thinking about losing. We're thinking about victory here, guys. That's what the Lord wants us to be. He wants us to be joyful. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to be victorious. And boy, that's it. And it's right here. It's the book is full of that kind
can
of thing.
Can I add one in here?
Yes.
Colossians?
Colossians. Yes. Go ahead.
Colossians 3:12. Since God chose you to be holy people, he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderness, tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, beautiful, and patience.
Beautiful.
Clothe yourselves with
that's
all that.
That's it. That's right. Yeah. There you go. Clothe yourself. That means be surrounded. You're protected. That's like clothing yourself with armor. The Ephesians 6 thing. Like I said, we're protected from the front, but if we turn around and run, we're not protected. If we give up, we're not protected. We're going to be hit. We're going to be struck down. Satan wants to strike us down, guys. That Job, who did I give Job 2?
Yeah, to me, chapter 2.
Yes. Start with verse 9. We're talking about Job here and his approach to this whole situation. Remember, he was subjected to the worst kind of thing. He had these boils and all these kinds of cancerous kinds of things all over his body. He took away all his animals and all of his flocks and all this kind of thing. Satan attacked him, but the Lord said, I will protect him in the end. I'm going to let my man Job be attacked, and it will just see how I'll show him, I'll show Satan, I'll show you how tough he is. Go ahead. Did you find that?
Yeah, but I'm not sure if it's what you want.
Just go ahead and read it, please.
His wife said to him,
yes, okay,
are you still holding onto your integrity? Curse God and die.
That's right. That's what I mentioned before. Your wife's going to sometime tell you something that's not true. You say, what? No. What's the matter with you? Are you still...
praying?
Yeah, go ahead. What's the next verse?
The next verse, he replied, you are talking like a foolish woman.
Yes.
Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?
That's right. We'll accept the good. But we're not going to accept the bad. We're
in all this, Job did not sin in what he said.
I want you to read this book of Job, guys. It's a beautiful book. It's got some humor. I tell you, God, just Yahweh and Yeshua. They're not comedians. No, no, no. But they've got a sense of humor. And we can use a sense of humor when we talk with our friends and our family. We don't have to be pious. We don't have to be a priest to talk to people. People sometimes won't hear it, won't hear the message. They won't get the story unless we are more natural and we can use some humor. We can use some basic language skills, and we all have little skills. We are all gifted. Each one of us in this room is gifted for something particularly, but we have more gifts than we think we have. And we have got to develop them, though. We've got to practice them. Practice makes perfect. That's the whole thing about, why do you think a baseball team practices? Why does a basketball team practice? Why do these guys, these people that are the track stars and all these guys, they can't just get up and do their thing without practice, and we can't do our thing. We can't do what the Lord wants us to do without practice, and practice includes study. It includes being coached. That's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at for the word coach. You guys can be coaches. We're all now getting older here. Miranda is the youngest, of course. But look at us. We are mature people. And don't ever forget it. Don't ever sell yourself short. As far as the power and the grace and the mercy that God gives us. And He expects us to turn around and use it. We don't have to go hide. We don't have to go hide under the covers. Go ahead. Yes, Lynn.
I just was remembering what I loved about Job is, I think it starts in chapter 38. This is a real answer to anybody that's got pride. It's when Yahweh answered Job out of the whirlwind, and then he always says, "Who do you think you are? Who is this that darkens counsel by the words without knowledge? Gird up your loins and say, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Mm-hmm. Declare if you have understanding. Who determined the measures of it, if you know? Who stretched a line upon it? Or who laid the cornerstone of it?
That's right.
When the morning stars sang together. Or shut up the sea with doors. Who marked it out for my bounds? And who set the bars and the doors? And here shall your proud waves be stayed. Have you walked in the recesses of the deep, or have the gates of death been revealed to you? All these things, it's like...
That's right.
Anybody that's got a lot of pride, just send them to this part
of
Job.
I'm pretty sure that chapter of Job is how the scientist who discovered the ocean currents figured it out.
Yeah.
Was because it talks about...
There's a lot of answers here.
Yeah, there are a lot of things that God talks about in there that you wouldn't think of on your own, you know. So he's revealed stuff in all kinds of sneaky ways, even throughout. So I know he has a sense of humor.
That's right. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And we're going to get blessings when we use God's advice. We are going to be blessed. He is going to give us answers. He is going to give us the wherewithal that we need. Be victorious.
Man?
Yes.
I just thought of like a gardener.
Yes.
When he plants the seeds, you do not get immediate fruit.
No.
You have patience with your plants.
Farmers have to be patient. Tell them about your dad, honey. He was a dairy farmer, but he...
Oh, yeah. We planted crops every year. I can remember as a little kid, and I like to sit on the machine that put the grain in, the seed in, and I'd be behind. Well, horses did this. And it was so much fun, you know, and trying to keep the birds away before they eat all the seeds, you know. And and then you hope the rains came soon enough, and then everything, it was just fascinating. Then come September and everything got cut down and harvested, and I just loved it.
Well, I think of ourselves as like plants, and even myself growing in the Word, you know, and I can't just read through this book and finish it and not change.
No.
You got to change within you, and you got, and it takes time. It's not overnighter. And I hope to be doing His will and bearing great fruit.
It will change you, and good fruit is, that's one of the culminations. That's what we're being prepared to do. And we should be casting out this seed.
You get more each time when you go through the Word. It's like when you go out to the garden, and it's just like, I know I picked these snow peas yesterday, and there's more there.
Yes.
And it's and so every time you go back to the Word, it's not like just one pass will do it. Each time you go through, you're gonna get more out of it, and you tend to, I think, be directed back to books, chapters, or whatever issues that are timely for you, and that are going to reveal something to you that you didn't necessarily get the first 20 times.
That's right.
Or He's watching and He opens that doorway or that path for you at that moment.
Yeah, you're different now than the first time you read it.
Like, that's right.
You know, like
you see it different.
You were a Christian 20 years before, and sure you read it. But now it's like going to talk to you again.
That's right. That's good.
I think that's where patience, they keep on talking about patience. Eventually your time will come where you get it.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a growing process. Yeah. You get a little bit, and you get a little bit more, and a little bit more. Jennifer, would you read Romans 15:4? Lannis, Hebrews 6:12. Leah, how about Revelation 2:2 and also 3:10. Revelation 2:2 and 3:10.
Lou, about that concept you were talking about, Pastor Murray will use the expression sometimes. Just put that on the shelf. If you hear something in the Word that stops you, that makes you think, and it's just like, wait a minute, what's going on here? If it's confusing to you, that confusion is not of God. And so that's when you want to put it on the shelf and wait until you've got another piece of the puzzle to see that, oh, hey, maybe I had that turned around wrong and it fits better this way, now that I know more.
Good. That's a good way to look at it, a puzzle. Because this is a mystery. You know, a lot of people refer to the Bible and different stories and different concepts as mysterious. And the first reading, it's like my son when he was taking physics. He says, I don't get this idea, this physical law. And Lana says, well, how many times did you read it? Well, I just read it once. Well, go back and read it 5 times. and then pray about it.
I don't get it because you're not getting out of the class.
Yeah, and then you pray about it a little bit. Yeah, we've always told our kids to pray about it.
That's that revelation can come in everyday things when we ask for it too.
Definitely.
There's plenty of things out there in normal life that we don't really understand. Face it, I mean, the actions of other people, you know, either individuals or as a collective, we can be known for some really questionable things sometimes. So
that's right. Who's got Romans 15:4, Jennifer?
Right here. The Living Bible.
Yes.
These things that were written in the Scriptures so long ago are to teach us patience and to encourage us, so that we will look forward expectantly to the time when God will conquer sin and death.
There you go, right there. I mean, it's verse after verse after verse. Hebrews, who's got Hebrews 6, Lana? 6:12.
That you be not sluggish, but imitators of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises.
Inherit the promises. Here again, he's talking about promises, man. We've got promises in here that are just beautiful. They're wonderful. How about Revelation?
is Revelations 2:2. I know your works and your toil and patience, and that you cannot bear evil men, and did try them that call themselves apostles, and they are not, and did find them false. And you have patience, and did bear for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. But I have this... Oh, that's it.
That's,
sorry.
That's and good. Then, that's good. Let me stop you just a second before you read the next one. We got to be careful about this internet. You got to be careful about some of these people on TV. They're going to mix us up. They're good. Some are good, some are bad. Some have good and bad. And that's a reason we've got to study this word so we understand what is good and what is bad, and what is true and what is false. That's a difference between a true fellowship and a cult. Now this lady once, Craig had a lady came to a meeting one time, and she was from one of the mainstream denominations. And he was talking to her about the sacred names, and he was talking to her about different things that didn't really make any difference as far as she was concerned. And she said, well, you guys must be a cult. She says, I've never heard that in my denomination. And that's the problem. People are not being fed properly. They're not getting the true word. They're not getting the understanding from a lot of ministers and from a lot of priests. So we've got to be careful about that. We've got to study. We've got to be approved. And the only way we be approved, as far as our message is concerned, is if it's coming out of the Word here, and it's acknowledged, and it's a promise from God. And go ahead with that Revelations 3, whatever that other was.
3:10.
What does that say?
Because you did keep the word of my patience, I will also keep you from the hour of trial, the hour which is to come upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth.
And this is talking about the tribulation there in Revelation, of course. The coming problems. We think we're in trouble, guys, now. Wait until next year. And I'm not worried about it, but I'm going to tell you that things are not going to get easier. We know that, don't we? But here again, we're overcomers. He's promised it. He gave us the promise. We don't have to worry about it. We'll just persist in trying to cast out seeds and then look for that harvest and look for the fruit. And we also will develop the fruit in our own mind, in our own body, in our own spirit. We'll be fruitful. We will be fruitful if we continue to follow God's will. Now we're talking here, something I want you to look up. Romans 5:1. Did you have that one?
That was a different chapter of Romans.
Okay, this Romans, I want Mark to check it out. Romans 5:1-5. We're talking about hope. We're talking about promises here, and I want to make sure we understand that this is the important thing here. Go ahead. What does Romans 5 say, Mark?
Therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of God's glory. Not only this, but we also rejoice in sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us.
Oh boy. There's a lot in there, isn't there? Isn't that beautiful? That says a lot, guys. We should read that. Everybody should read that every day.
Romans, what was it?
Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5.
Philippians. Jennifer, would you look up Philippians 3:13? Talking about perseverance, we're talking about confidence here. And you know, it all of these things help us to be more content and to be more able to handle these things that come along. There's a verse, and I think it's in here someplace. Well, you got Philippians 3? Do you have, Jennifer?
Yeah, what verse?
13. Now, Mark, would you look up Philippians 4? 11. Alana? Proverbs 16:20. David, 1 Timothy 6:6-9. Go ahead, Mark.
Philippians 4, verse 11, in the New English Translation. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content in any circumstance.
There you go. I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance comes down the road. Because you can't argue, you can have a conversation with God, you may have a little problem with what He's telling you, and you think you can argue with Him, well, I say, be careful there. Because He's the answer, and His way is different, mighty different from our ways. So He wants to make us content. He says to be content. He says, don't argue with me. He says, and I'm going to give you the ability to be content and to be able to handle whatever comes down the pike if you believe me. But if you want to believe this Satan and the rest of the guys that are running around out in the earth there and are trying to bring you down, then go to it. You know?
Just to amplify that, I'm going to read 12 and 13 as well.
Yes.
Out of the New English does a real good job on this section here.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've experienced times of need and times of abundance. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of contentment. Whether I go satisfied or hungry, have plenty or nothing, I am able to do all things through the one who strengthens me.
There you go. See, we have got power, guys. Don't ever feel that you're weak and that you're unable to contend with what's coming down the pike. You guys have got power if you're connected. If you're hooked up to that pipeline, if you're flexible. Who's got Proverbs 16:20?
He that gives heed to the word shall find good, and whoever trusts in Yahweh, happy is he.
There you go. Trusting again. Obeying. And then 1 Timothy, David, 6:6-9. What do you got there? Is there something there that pops out?
1 Timothy 6:6-9?
Yes.
Yet true godliness and contentment is itself great wealth.
Ah.
After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave it. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires and plunge them into ruin and destruction.
There you go.
I just love how popular phrases that we use every day end up coming from the Bible in so many instances, and people don't even realize it. I mean, you just read right there the phrase, you can't take it with you. And that's been condensed by popular culture, but it's right out of the Word of God.
It is.
And just to be content with food and clothing, I mean, we're bombarded with so many stuff to buy things, or we should be in this level, or we should drive this, or look like this.
Oh, definitely. You've got to do this to be accepted and to be, normal. If you don't have this, you're not normal. Well, it's a bunch of bull.
Yeah, I would like to say simply, I think it's connected on the other side of the patience and everything of God's word and understanding coming slowly.
Yep.
I have been of the understanding, and it saved my life in many, many, many times. You didn't ask God for anything when he came to you and said, don't turn the corner here, don't go here, don't go over the hill, but you don't pass this car.
That's right.
And that first voice, you know, that's God. And it comes to you. I'm sure there's some a verse to back that up. But that's one of our promises, because he's always there.
That's right. He'll always be with you. Exactly. Oh, that's
that guardian angel. Angel is a messenger from God, and if you're getting
guardian
a message
angel.
From God, that's where it came from.
That's right.
So
that's right.
There's a lot of truth to that concept.
Just back up what Blue said. There have been so many times, mostly when I was living in Albuquerque, where there's a lot of traffic, where the light would turn green and someone would say, don't go.
Yeah.
And here comes somebody flying about 100 miles an hour that you wouldn't really, you wouldn't even seen them. Mm-mm. That's happened to me a half a dozen times.
Definitely.
Don't go. Disobey the green.
Yeah.
They call that a premonition.
Save your life.
Yeah.
They call it premonition, but it's a message.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. That's a good rule of thumb, though, as far as traffic is concerned for drivers. To hesitate, don't try to be the first one through that intersection, because I know they've recommended that you wait 3 seconds, something else. And there's different ideas about that waiting, because there's always going to be somebody that's going to go through that yellow light. And then there's a blatant people they'll go through the red.
And
I see it. I see it every day. You see it every day.
I see it here, too.
So we got to be careful about that.
Well, be careful if you learn to drive.
You know, that's pretty prevalent today, because I was in a rush coming over here because I left late because I got detained with my work and stuff. And it seemed like everybody was doing the wrong thing. They were pushing it. 10 cars just go right in front of me immediately.
Yep. Oh, sure.
And some days are like that.
You know what that's called? Impatience.
Well, you get in a hurry, right?
Yeah. I know.
That's the opposite.
And everybody wants to be the first one through the, that's true.
Yeah, Mark doesn't suffer from any of that stuff.
No, never. I have a sign on my wall in my office. Everybody knows my battle with patience is an ongoing thing.
Well, we all have that problem. Let me tell you, it's not easy. David, did you have something?
I got something that I just thought about that made me sick, was the thought that I guess these two girls had gotten in a fight, and all the kids gathered around, and no one stepped in to stop them.
Uh-huh.
And one girl almost got killed over it. And, you know, they're over there videotaping it, and, you know, we have the choice to either go with the crowd or step up with
That's
the Lord.
Right.
And do something about some of the stuff. Like, we don't follow a person off the cliff if they tell us to do so.
No.
We got choices.
Exactly. Our choices and priorities, and that is a personal thing. And everybody's going to react a little differently in a kind of some kind of situation like that. But we know. I just love that old thing about what would Jesus do. I had a little bracelet, and it said WWJD. What would Jesus do in a kind of a situation? And you're because every one of us are going to be challenged. We're going to have to come up sometime against a very tough situation. It's going to be a life-threatening or a life-saving kind of situation. And here again, I'm just stressing this fact about having your connection, being connected and having the pipeline and having the Holy Spirit that's going to lead you. I'm going to close with this John 12. Everybody look it up. John 12, 26.
A couple weeks ago when I was giving the books that were describing the end times, I'm not sure if I said them right, so I'm going to say them again. The Gospels that describe Jesus's talking about the what's going to happen at the end times happen in Mark 13, Matthew 24, and Luke 21. I might have messed one of those up last time. I don't remember what I said.
Okay. Let's everybody read that from their own Bible. Leah, you want to read what Bible do you...
1 John what?
No, just John, not 1 John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, 12, 26.
If any man may serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man may serve me, him will the Father honor.
What does yours say, David?
Anyone who wants to be my disciple must follow me, because my servant must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me.
Talking about disciples here, Luke. Lana, what does yours say?
It was the same as
his. Same as his. Did you find that, John?
No.
Okay.
Okay, I finally got it. John,
12:26.
Okay.
Go ahead, Luke. Luke.
Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me.
There you go. Do we want to be honored, guys? What do you have? Was yours basically the same?
The Living Bible says,
yeah.
If these Greeks want to be my disciples, tell them to come and follow me. For my servants must be where I am. And if they follow me, the Father will honor them.
That's right. Greeks, Gentiles, yeah. What's yours?
If anyone wants to serve me, he must follow me, and where I am, my servant will be too. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him.
Miranda, what do you have?
It's the same.
Roughly the same?
Yeah.
Okay, did you get it, brother? 12,
okay,
20?
What is it again?
12, chapter 12.
John 12.
Yeah.
26.
Okay, John 12.
And then verse 26.
Oh, 26.
Yeah, 26. Because that's the name of the game, guys.
If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor.
Honor. See, that's the connection.
And Jesus said that because it's in red.
That's exactly
right. It's a new Bible for me.
That's wonderful.
Okay. That's the King
James.
That's
the idea, guys.
Edition.
That's my parting. That's the last thing I have to say today.
Sorry I'm so slow, but...
that's good, but that's what... That's,
you got there. You have patience.
You got it. We got patience.
We have patience.
Yeah.
Patience.
Yes. Who wants to close with prayer? Does anybody have a closing prayer today that feels, yeah, that wants to lead out? We can all have a few words if we want to go around, or let me just begin and we'll go right around. And if you want to thank the Lord for anything in particular, go ahead. If you don't, just go ahead. Just give the guy a squeeze, and then we'll win. But dear Father Yahweh, we are so happy to be here today. I am blessed. I feel very honored to be among your children and among people that love you, that want to serve you, that want to learn more about you, and then are looking forward to eternal life, Lord, the eternal life that you have for us. I just praise your name, praise your holy name. I am so happy to know that you are always there and that you're never going to forsake us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Go ahead.
I just want to thank you, Yahweh, for my spiritual family here and for my children and my family all over, that you may protect them and keep them strong.
Thank you.
Yahweh, bless this congregation. Bless this house.
Yes.
Bless the faith in this congregation. Thank you, Yahweh, for your son, Yeshua. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. May we all be lights in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Yeshua, for this day. Thank you for our lives. Thank you that no matter what, we know that your hand is upon us, that you're always there.
Thank you, Yahshua, for the patience that I do have and the more patience that I can get from you in your words.
Yes.
I understand it's a constant growing situation. Thank you so much for your love and kindness.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, it's so much to thank you for.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to take everything, but I pray for peace in this hurt, and I pray for particularly right now for the lost soul, Father God.
Mm-hmm.
For they need salvation, and I pray unto you, Lord, for you bring salvation on this hurt. And I pray for every soul of this hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Be safe.
Thank you.
I just want to thank you, Yahweh, for this congregation. And thank you for giving me a little patience, which I have to work hard on because I don't have no patience.
Mm-hmm.
And but I'll work on it. And thank you, Yeshua.
Thank you, God, for letting us all be here together as one big family. Like, thank you just for everything you do for us. Thank you for everything, and thank you for letting all of our lives be with all of your hands.
Amen. 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 Amen.
By your grace that we're able to understand and become more like your word speaks. And I pray that you'll bless each and every person here, Lord. Keep everybody safe. Keep us safe going in, coming out,
mm-hmm.
and help us to trust in you for all things that we need. Amen.
Thank you, Father Yahweh, for this wonderful family. Thank you for the ability to go out and spread your word. The
yes.
good news of Yeshua's coming back. And we look for that to happen soon. In Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
Amen, everybody. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.